It's good to see everybody here today. I'm thankful for your attendance, and my family and I are thankful to be here. It's good to be with you once again. In all of the strange happenings of this year, as I'm sure have been on the minds of most people throughout this world, you know, some of our habits have changed. And I want to talk with you this evening about habitual religion. In our lives, we form habits, some good, some bad. Every morning when I wake up, one of the first things that I do is go and grind my coffee beans and prepare to make coffee. It's one of the, I deem that a good habit for every day to start with. But we always form those habits. We are by nature, human beings are habitual creatures. And as Christians, we want to be habitual about some things. We want to form habits that are going to allow us to form that knowledge and understanding, the ability to follow through with the will of the Lord every day of our lives, and even more important than that, share it with others that they might come to have the hope of heaven after a while. As you see listed there on the screen, I want you to turn with me to James 1 at verse 25. James 1 at verse 25 is a very popular verse. You probably know it. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. We need to, again, look at the scriptures to know what are those things that we need to do on a regular basis. What are those things that must be done in our lives? We want to be blessed by the Lord in those things that we do. And that's only going to happen when we align our daily lives with His will. If we look at the definition of habitual, you know, look to the Webster's Dictionary anyways, we read it's regularly or repeatedly doing or practicing something or acting in some manner, having the nature of a habit. Now, one could, and the example is given here in the definition of drug use. Many times people will form a drug habit, and it is to their detriment in their life that such a thing forms. But they become so used to doing that same thing regularly, repeatedly, practicing something or acting in some manner. Many times people treat religion that way. They may be very regular about their attendance at services of some religious body, but that's all it is. It's a showing up to be counted present. And there's more to it than that. We don't want to just do this out of just some habit. The second definition, regularly or repeatedly doing, practicing, or acting in some manner, doing something by force of habit. And that's basically what we were just mentioning there. And when you just walk in the door and sit down and you do the thing that you do every Sunday, and then it's back out into the world, and strangely, the world may look at us and not really see any difference from everybody else. And that's something that we don't want to do. The third one is resorted to on a regular basis, or to be just inherent in an individual, some action that is just inherent in an individual. And as we go through the lesson tonight, we want to talk about some of the things that should be just inherent in being a Christian. It should just go without saying that some things are just going to happen because of who we are, because of who the Lord is. So habitual religion, it must be thoughtful. It must be purposeful. In Acts 5 of verse 42, we read an example, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. These first century Christians, they formed a habit. Daily, every day, they went out and they taught. They did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Can that be said of the church today? Can that be said about us in our daily lives? I know I can use some help in that area. I know that I can do better in such things. Can we say about ourselves that we don't cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ? As we look around us in the world today, our friends and neighbors, they need it. They need that truth. Matthew 22, starting at verse 36, says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." As we go through our daily ritual, those things that have become habitual in our days, can we say that we love the Lord with all of our heart? We need to be those that are seeking after Him. And there, just to kind of drive the point home again, there on in the end of that, to love your neighbor as yourself. If we love our neighbor as ourself, we're not going to let our neighbor go without hearing the truth. And we're not going to let them go through life looking across the street or across the yard and saying, "I wonder what they do every Sunday when they get in the car and leave." We want to share why we have that habit. We must purpose in our hearts to worship and follow Christ, not out of some earthly compulsion. You know, when we're children, and if you've been a child that attended church services, or if you have a child that attends services with you, you might remember some of the times when maybe you have to, as one of my children has to get dragged out of bed by his big toe some mornings to get moving. It happens. And we as we get older and as we progress and as we look into the scriptures and as we gain that knowledge and we gain the fervor that is needed in order to be a successful Christian, then we don't have to resort to such things. We don't have to be dragged in the door, or at least we shouldn't. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." That's just a reasonable thing to expect out of someone who has named Christ as their Savior, who has been obedient to the will of the Lord, has been buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. That's the newness of life, that we are a living sacrifice. Again, in order for our habitual religion, as we've termed it for this lesson, if it's going to be habitual, we want some of those habits to be rooted in the scriptures, the knowledge of the scriptures. You know, again, it's not enough just to show up, but we need to have some of our habits revolving around the idea that we need to always be learning. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7, as we read there, "Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Do you know people that are very learned in some area? Maybe they've spent decades in school learning about some science or whatever it may be. And they just keep learning and learning. Or something comes to mind, a friend of mine, his father, I can tell you that as we were young, we would come in, my friend and I would come into his house, and his dad would very regularly be sitting there reading the scriptures. In fact, he'd read the Bible probably more than anybody that I had ever met at that time. But there wasn't really any learning going on there. He read it, he enjoyed reading it, but there wasn't that follow-through of obedience. And we need to be careful that we don't do that. We need to be careful that we're not just always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. When we look around us in the areas of higher education in the world today, many times people are blinded by all of the knowledge that they've put into their mind, yet they miss these simple truths of the Scriptures. They miss the simplicity of Christ. Now, many revere that knowledge today. Many religious books have been written, and some of them are quite popular. They fill the store shelves, but not for very long, because people will buy those. Now, I still understand that the Bible is still the best-selling book in the world, and I hope that that's true, but more than that, I hope that people open them up. Ecclesiastes 12, starting at verse 12, we read, "And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." It's our purpose. It's our purpose here on this earth, in order that we seek after the Lord. John 8 at verse 32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Think about it, the time before perhaps you knew the truth. If you're sitting here today and you're a Christian, think back to the time before you knew the truth. And now think about what life is like now. Have you been set free from some things? You know, I've learned in all of this, the happenings of this year, that I'm thankful for the Lord and thankful for the hope that is there for me, because I know that I've been obedient to His gospel. I look around me and see people that are just drowning in fear, drowning in the what ifs of this world. And some of the, you know, there's very serious things going on in the world around us. The very serious illnesses and lives, physical lives, are being lost. But more than that, I want to keep things in perspective and realize that there's much more to it than that. We're told in the Scriptures not to fear those things that can kill the body, but to fear those things which can do away with our soul. And as we look around us in the world, we realize just how wonderful that hope is that we have in Christ. The truth has set us free, and we want that for more and more people. That's the answer to many of the issues that plague our world, always has been. You know, someone brought it to my attention recently that many times I'll use a statement like "in this day and time" or "in this day and age," and they brought it to my attention that, you know, well, it's really was the same before too, you know, and it's nothing. There's nothing new under the sun. These things have always been happening, and we need more than ever to have that habit of looking into the Scriptures and being rooted in that knowledge of the Scriptures. Our habitual religion, too, must be faithful to the doctrine of Christ. You know, that word religion in the title of this lesson, you know, it gets thrown around all over the place. There's many religions in the world, but there's one doctrine of Christ. That is the one that saves. All of the others are worthless in that regard. They're not going to give people that peace that surpasses all understanding. They're not going to give people that hope of heaven after a while. At least not true hope. You know, in Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." He didn't say anything about any of the others that you hear of. He's going to build His church. If we want to be in it, if we want to be saved, we need to be in Christ. We need to be in His church. Matthew 15 at verse 9 says, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Those are all of those religions out there that teach things that are contrary to the doctrine of Christ, deceiving our friends and our neighbors. Maybe, perhaps, having deceived someone in this room. Maybe we can think back and think back to a time when maybe we were deceived. I know that is my case. It took someone who loved and cared for me enough to share the gospel truth with me, for me to fight back with him, and then continue. He didn't give up and continued to share the gospel with me until the Word of God had its way and I was able to understand and I was able to see the truth. And I'm thankful for that. We need to be that for as many people as we can in our lives. 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 14, says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, we need to realize what the Scriptures are. Sometimes we just think of it, mankind certainly thinks of it as just a book, just a collection of writings. But it is the God-breathed Word of the Lord. And it is able. It is able to do its job for which it was sent. His Word is not going to return to Him void. We need to remain faithful to that doctrine of Christ and understand that we are thoroughly equipped with it. We don't need all of the other many books. Now, look on any of our bookshelves. We might find some books, and I find some books written by men helpful. Some of the reference materials and so on. I find those to be helpful in study from time to time, but realize that we need just the Scriptures to have an understanding of what the Lord desires for us. Again, we look at Matthew 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18 says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." The Lord has been successful. He's already won. The gates of death is not going to prevail against the Lord's church. So as we close our thoughts here for this evening, I want to ask each and every one of you, what do your habits look like? Do they align themselves with the things that we find in the Scriptures? Can you say that you're a habitual Christian? And by using that term, I want it to be that you want to ask yourselves if you are habitual because you understand that this is the best thing for you. You understand that it is the will of the Lord that you do these things according to the Scriptures. Or is it something more superficial? Each one of us needs to look daily into our lives and see if there's some room for improvement in the way that we conduct ourselves. Revelation 2:10 reminds us that if you're faithful until death, you'll receive the crown of life. And that's the hard part, having to go through every day, our daily lives, and we need to be faithful. In order to do that, we need to understand daily the truth. Time is swiftly passing, something that we say often. We understand anybody who has attained any little bit of age on this earth knows just how quickly it goes. The little one in the back, the last time I was here, I don't think he was mobile walking. That's a testament to how quickly time flies. Time is swiftly passing, and we want to be intentionally habitual Christians. Not out of some compulsion, but out of a knowledge of the truth and an understanding that that is the will of the Lord. We need to act with purpose in our lives, and we need to act with knowledge, and we need to act in faith. We understand that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. It's one of the things that all mankind must do in order to be saved. We need to hear the Word, have that understanding of it. need to believe that Christ is who he says he is. When you've heard the word and have an understanding of it and you know what it is, the next logical step is that you believe that Christ is who he says he is. And then that being established, why would you want to continue in the old ways? But you repent and you turn away from those sins that dragged you down. You walk in a new direction, that direction towards Christ and towards everlasting life. Then we confess Christ before men and are baptized for the remission of sins, buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in a newness of life. That's what each and every person on this earth must do in order to be saved, to be in Christ, to be in his church that he established. Not just the brick and mortar building we're talking about, but of course, the Lord's church, which surpasses all of those physical things. And then, as we mentioned a moment ago, the hard part of remaining faithful until death. If there's still breath in your body, there's still work to do. You know, remaining faithful, that's going to be our job for the rest of our lives here on this earth. And together, as the church, we lean upon each other, and sometimes we stumble, and sometimes we fall. We are human beings, and we will make mistakes. Guaranteed we've made them, and we'll make them again. And as we stumble and we fall, each one of us, it's no mistake that the Lord assembled his church in such a way that we would be a support to one another. If you're here today and you need to put on Christ in baptism, then by all means, I know the waters are ready back here. We can make that happen. If you need the prayers of the saints, if you just need some help along the way, again, that's what we're here for. If you're subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing.